Nice to meet you. How long have you been on Tinder? I want a woman who finds that sexy. I want a woman who gets wet when I slice paper with a Chinese cleaver. Okay, nieces and nephews, welcome back to the Hiya Podcast. It's Valentine's Day! Woo! Hope you have a good Valentine's Day. Well, I'm recording this on Valentine's Day, but this comes out after Valentine's Day. So hope you had a good Valentine's Day. I'm a single guy myself, so I spent today just recording this podcast for you with Matt here. But Matt is happily married. Doing much for your Valentine's Day? I know you have a surprise plan for your wife, but when this comes out, Valentine's Day would have been over. So what are you doing later tonight?
Well, so she treated me yesterday. We went to the cinema and had a three-course meal afterwards.
Wow,
yeah, Charlotte Street Hotel. It was really good.
Let's be honest, is it a Groupon? Is it a Groupon? Did she pay full price? That matters, you know? If you get a gift and you find out later it's from a Groupon, doesn't it just cheapen it a little bit?
No, nice. Yeah, because it's the thought that counts, isn't it?
No, it's not the thought that it's everything counts. The thought counts, the actual thing counts, whether or not it's from a Groupon counts. Like if you buy a gift from someone or if you buy like an experience, because Groupon, like this kind of vouchers companies, they do it, it's mostly experiences, right? So I really hope it's not like a movie and three-course dinner package, you know? That'll be very sad. Ask her, confront her later.
I'll find out. We went to Benihana and I did that. And it's quite emasculating having to get the coupon out and like go and speak to the waitress and make sure this isn't full price, is it?
Yeah.
Because I absolutely cannot afford it if it's full price.
It's very, very, humiliating.
Yeah.
If you go on a date, don't do Groupon on a date. That is a surefire way for the date to not end well. If I go out on a date with someone and they actually like that I use a Groupon, I will not see them ever again. I'm like, you low standard having motherfucker. It's a Groupon. You should hate this. You know? Full price on dates, always. Pick a cheaper place. You can always go to Chili's. If you can't afford a nice place, go to Chili's. I'll take full price Chili's over some shit Groupon deal. But okay, so she treated you yesterday. What movie did you watch?
We watched Licorice. I can't say it. Licorice Pizza.
Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, which is great. But it did make me think a little bit because the plot is around basically a 25-year-old woman, kind of a rom-com with a 15-year-old boy. Or a man.
Oh, I need to watch this movie then.
It's really
good. Is
there
the other version where it's an older guy?
Well, this is what I was thinking.
That's why it's called the Michael Jackson documentary. Hey! Sorry, guys. Cheap shot. I needed to say that.
But it's a really sweet film, like a rom-com, but that's the premise. And when you break it down in black and white, you're like, well, it is quite creepy.
Listen, love is blind. Love does not know about age. Love transcends pedophilia.
Oh, okay?
Pedophiles can feel love too, you know? And sometimes that love is genuine.
We're 3 minutes in and we're already...
It's one of my favorite topics.
Oh, God.
They are put on this earth. It's such a curse to be a pedophile. You like kids, you can't help it. You're born this way. You can't help it. But society tells you it's wrong, you know?
No.
And then you tell yourself, yeah, maybe it's wrong, but this is not what I
tell myself.
Well,
I was going to say, you tell yourself.
Listen, I love children, but not in that way. So
thanks for clarifying.
And then a pedophile just has to go through life. And then they'll think to themselves, well, is it wrong because 50 years ago, being gay was wrong? What if being a pedophile is the same as being gay? I'm sure they have had their thoughts in their head.
So they're playing the long game.
Maybe. And then they have to like not act on it. It's so hard, man. I feel bad for them. So I think that's a movie I need to watch. Okay, so that was yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
What about tonight?
Tonight.
Any pounding, you know? Can you press the pink button for sound effect? Yeah. Okay, cut it. You can't play it too long. Copyright strike. Was there pounding last night? Listen, I'm a single guy. I'm living vicariously through you, okay?
Yeah, pounding.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not going to say when, but pounding is.
I'm going to say when?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It'll be at night.
Let's keep it ambiguous. Well, what,
in the morning?
Be at night.
At the movie theater?
It doesn't have to be at night, Nigel.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe you did at the movie theater. Before the three-course meal. I'm not hungry yet, honey. Is there some activity we can do? This is cool. Okay. Fun Valentine's Day. I'm a little bit envious. I'm going on tour, listeners, going on tour starting on Wednesday. So that's going to be quite stressful. A lot of traveling. My new U2s is on sale. Look at this. How cute this figurine is. So go click the link in the description to buy it. I'm very proud of this, you know. I display it in my house, in my living room. And they're very cute. I helped design it myself. And also, the previous one, this is my second one, right? The first one sold out really quickly, right? And it's now on StockX for like 5 times the price. Just scalpers.
No,
yeah. So listeners, if you want to get it, just go click link and get it now.
I reckon one day you'd be doing Uncle Roger NFTs.
Uncle Roger NFTs. I've been thinking about that, you know?
Have you actually?
Yeah. But I think NFTs now, the way artists use it and comedians and creators use it, is like they use it to build some sort of community around it, right? If you just sold an NFT straight up, it feels like a ripoff. It's like, oh, I'm going to sell this Uncle Roger video. You want to buy the first Uncle Roger video for £20,000? You know, that's a ripoff. But to me, if I do it, my audience have to get, the people who buy it have to get something in return. So a lot of the times they do it, people buy an NFT to get access to exclusive Discord or special merch or maybe tour tickets. So when I have more time, I'll look into it.
Well, it could be quite cool, actually. You could like sell just like Adobe Premiere Suite with like a load of stuff you've recorded and say, well, go and make a video. Let's see how good you are. And then you could have everybody doing different versions and you'd be like, who's the best?
Wow. So get people to work for free. Nice. I like where you're thinking, man.
Why am I talking myself out of a job as well?
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. I have been doing up the house. My kitchen's done. So I'm cooking again, people. You know? And I realize cooking is great. It's just the stuff surrounding cooking that sucks, you know? Grocery shopping sucks. Cleaning up sucks. But I have a dishwasher now, so that's great. So yeah, Asian listeners, I know there's this joke that I've made a few times that Asians, we don't use a dishwasher. We use a dishwasher as storage. But hear me out. Give it a try. Give it a try because it will change your life.
What's wrong with a dishwasher? Why is that a thing?
We just historically, our parents like saving money, you know, so we just don't use it. We just don't even buy one. And then we make our kids wash the dishes, you know, so that working for free thing. You're picking out some Asianness from me, man. That Asian is going through to you through osmosis. I'm osmosizing my Asianness to you. Okay, that sounded really dirty. But you're becoming more Asian. That is great. Yeah, growing up, I didn't have a dishwasher in my house. You know, my mom never used one. So she washed dishes by her hand all the time. And then she complains that her hand's like peeling because of the detergent. So yeah, hopefully her new place will have a dishwasher. But try it, guys. Try it. The dishwasher changes your life.
I miss it. We used to have one and we moved and we don't have one now.
Oh, no.
And now all by hand. I know what your mum's saying. Like your hands get all like, yeah.
Yeah. Get a dishwasher. Usually people move to a better place. They move up in the world as they get older. What? No space?
There's no space. We have a washing machine instead. So we chose that over a dishwasher.
I mean, you need both.
It was one or the other.
Oh, shit. You have a balcony, right?
Yeah.
Just put it out there. I know it will make your house look a bit like a council flat because that's... very classist, I know, but it's just an observation. Have you seen a council flat balcony? There's a bicycle. There's a fridge.
Oh, my God.
There's clothes hanging from it usually. And I always ask my friends, sometimes I drive past in an Uber or something like that, why do they store shit on their balcony? Then my friends are like, yeah, because if you put your bicycle outside in the council estate, it might get stolen. I'm like, oh, I see now. So you just need to put a dishwasher on your balcony. Just adopt that council flat look. You know, it's not that bad. A lot of them look nice. Okay? Right? Try it. For listeners outside the UK, a council flat is like a government-subsidised housing.
I did love it earlier, actually. We were chatting when I first got here for about a good 5 minutes, I'd say, just about interiors. I was like, 2 30-year-old guys talking about interiors. What's not to love there?
It's my new thing now. I don't know if you know this. I have no wife, no kids, no pets. What else can I have, Matt? Don't take this away from me. Let me have my Ottoman talk. My Diptyque diffuser just arrived today and it made my day. That is a very sad Valentine's Day. What are you looking forward to? Oh, my Diptyque diffuser. I use a scent called Baies, the most basic bitch Diptyque scent, but I love it.
That was the first question as I walked in the door. Matt, can you smell the Diptyque? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, right?
It is good.
Let me have something, Matt. We'll do a house tour soon. We'll do a... funny one, because I'm thinking I want to do 73 questions with Uncle Roger.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Like a parody of that Vogue format, but it's just Uncle Roger shitting on the house, because it's not, the aesthetic of the house is very, it's very British. You know, I love the British kitchen aesthetic, the shaker style kitchen. Uncle Roger's going to shit on it.
Yeah, no outdoor kitchen.
Yeah, no outdoor kitchen.
I'm learning.
Oh, wow. You've been watching the videos in between your Pornhub sessions. You load up some Uncle Roger.
Oh, my God. You're killing me, woman. Hiya.
That's not the soundboard. That's just Matt's MacBook laptop. The moment he opened it, that's what played. He has one Uncle Roger tab open and one Pornhub tab open. Yes, but listen. If you met me maybe a month or two ago, that's all I talked about. I was so boring. Interiors was all I talked about. Now I calmed down a bit now because it's been going on since September. Yeah. And most of the house is pretty, you know, almost 90% there, you know.
Are you friends with the builders?
Yeah, you
do
have
they
to
watch?
Be.
Do they know like who you are?
Yeah.
Really?
One of their kids watches me. So I gave them my figurine today.
You know, oh,
as a
little
present. I'm very nice to them because you have to be nice to your builders because they can fuck up your house.
Yeah, in ways you wouldn't even realize.
Yeah, until a year down the road, and then you're like, fuck, you know? So you got to treat them well. Well, treat everybody well, but treat builders extra well. They get to use my coffee machine, you know, whatever they want, I give them. I'll do the 73 questions Uncle Roger one, then we'll do a sincere one too. It's just me explaining all the rationale, but that's more just for the podcast channel because nobody wants to see a comedian being sincere talking about curtains, you know? So I was doing up the kitchen. I needed to accessorize the kitchen because my previous flat, it was just a studio flat, rented place, not a lot of space. I had one shit knife, you know, so I bought like that magnetic knife strip that all professional chefs have. And the one I bought looks like wood. It's not like a magnet. It's like, it looks like a piece of wood, but inside the wood is a magnet, right? So I had to buy some extra knives. There's this shop in King's Cross called Kitchen Provisions, and they specialize in Japanese knives. Asian knives. They have Japanese knives, santokus, gyutos. Santoku, they're just like chef knives, but in a slightly different shape. And then they have Chinese cleavers too. So, you know, I have to buy a Chinese cleaver. Come on, like, if I do Uncle Roger stuff. And I do miss chopping with one, because have you chopped a Chinese cleaver before?
Never.
It's great. It's a rectangle, right? And then when you chop it, you finish chopping it, you can just scoop it up. Because it's so wide, the surface area, you can just scoop up your spring onions and put it in a bowl. Very convenient, very safe. So I bought the Chinese cleaver, and I know it's authentic. I know it's super Chinese because it has a QR code on it. And that is the most Chinese thing you can do. Just slapping QR codes and stuff, right? They have the brand name and then the QR code. And then I scan the QR code. It just brings me to the website. And I'm like, I already bought the knife. Relax. I already support your company. You don't need to show me a website. You know, I thought it would be like somewhat cool, like to a YouTube video of like the CEO of the company and say, hey, thank you, man. Thank you so much for the support. We make these knives with love and we pour all our whole families, the whole lineage is just making these knives. You know, the brand is called like Chan Chi Kin or something, CCK. And apparently it's a very good knife. I posted it on my Instagram and then people just wrote in, oh, you have a CCK knife. Amazing. That's a really good knife. But yeah, very, very good knife. Good weight. QR code. That's how you know it's authentic. You know, nobody uses QR code in the West, man. Until COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then we have to use QR codes for menus now. And I hate it. Print out a book for me, please. I hate it. And some restaurants are still using QR code. And I'm like, hello, do you know COVID is over? Can we kill it with the QR codes, please? Can you buy a printer and print out a menu? I want to hold something when I order.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm with you. That was so depressing.
Yeah.
Book like a pub for an hour just to go for a drink.
Oh.
QR code to get a coffee. Like, there's something a bit soul-destroying about it.
Yeah. I don't want to live in a metaverse yet. Mark Zuckerberg, can we cool it with the QR codes? In Asia, maybe it's fine because in Asia, I guess... I don't know. Things are just different in Asia.
But in Asia, it'd be high tech and it'd be something amazing coming to you, not like a coffee and Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah. In Asia, the QR code is a feature. Over here, the QR code is someone being lazy. Yeah. It's like, I've been to an Asian restaurant here and then they have a QR code menu. I'm like, they have a paper menu, but that one's just for drinks. And then the QR code, the food menu is on a QR code. I'm like, why can't you print out the drinks menu? Why can't you print out the food menu too? It's, sometimes you change your dishes and we just don't want to reprint everything. QR codes, terrible idea. But seeing it on a knife makes me feel like, okay, this is authentic. It's an authentic knife.
Is it on the handle or on the actual, on the steel? Oh, wow, yeah.
Hold it, hold it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I brought it out from my kitchen. Here you go, guys. Look at this. Can you see the QR code? Right here, under the number 4. Yeah, so this is the knife. Can you see it, guys? Chinese cleaver from Chan Chi Ki. Man, have you used one? No, right?
No, you wanna scares hold it? Me a bit.
It scares you?
Yeah.
Fucking pussy. Hold this. Yeah.
It's got a nice weight to it.
Yeah.
So would you use this for sushi and things? Like,
you can.
Get a sashimi to get it nice and...
You can, yeah. Maybe sashimi, use a smaller knife for more control. This is just general chopping. I can tell you're not very good at cooking because like the way of how you grab the knife.
No, I'm good at cooking.
All right, how do you if imagine there's something for you to chop, how would you do it?
Oh, I mean, it feels quite awkward to be...
Really?
You
need to wrap your fingers at the base of the blade, man.
But that looks dangerous.
No, it's not. You don't touch it. It's not sharp over here. Let me show you something.
Oh, God. Don't try this at home.
No, try this at home.
Oh my.
It's too soft. Paper is too soft. It got stuck in the middle there. But very sharp, very sharp. And I probably need to take care of it. I don't have proper chopping boards. Oh, that's the thing. Proper, but you get like good knives. Now you have to get good chopping boards. And they are like 120 pounds a board.
Never not.
Yeah.
For a chopping board.
Yeah. They're like special
Why
Japanese
are they so good?
foam boards.
But what differentiates it? Why is it so good?
It protects the blade.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you use? You just chop on the counter?
It's directly on.
Yeah. Fuck, 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 fuck. Who cares? I hate this house anyway. No dishwasher. So yeah, this is a good knife.
I think from now on, your party trick on first dates, you just bring it out. Bring the book out. Look at this knife. While she's getting her Uber home.
That is the geekiest thing. Hey, nice to meet you, by the way. Nice to meet you. You know, how long have you been on Tinder? I want a woman who finds that sexy.
Yeah.
Okay? I want a woman who gets wet when I slice paper with a Chinese cleaver.
But there's got to be something sexier than slicing paper. You need to find something else to slice. And then it could be impressive. It's just paper.
But I have to bring that thing. What? It's like bringing an axe to a date and then bringing a log as well. Yeah. Okay, that is sexier than like slicing paper with a Chinese cleaver.
It's just the way you hold the paper so like delicately. And then...
Fine, Matt is making fun of my geekiness now. Fine, I won't bring this to dates, okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But I'm very proud of my knives. I love my knives. It's my new hobby now, okay? I bought, like, I splurged on a 100-pound chopping board. Okay, I'm going to actually cook. Well, I like cooking, but I don't like the things surrounding it, the admin, the grocery shopping, and buying stuff. I usually want to make Asian stuff, you know? So it's impossible to buy all the Asian ingredients in one trip. I live in a very white part of North London. You can attest to this, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of ethnic food here. So I get meal kits delivered. You know, I just have to chop stuff up and just cook it. So that's fun. When I bought this knife, the shop there, turns out in the UK, you can only buy knives if you are 25 or older. That's an age, 18 or 25.
Yeah, I think it's 18.
You think it's 18. You can only buy knives if you're 18 or older. So they check your ID when you buy knives. So I went to this Japanese knife place. I'm like, I get it. You're trying to stop crime. But who's trying to stab someone with an expensive Japanese knife? Who's stabbing someone with a Santoku? If I stab you with a Santoku, it means I love you. It means I'm willing to splurge my beautiful knife and ruin it. Right? These are like 200, 300, 400 pound knives. It goes up to like, I think the most expensive knife they have there is like 2,000 pounds, you know, hand forged by this Japanese knife master. Like these people bring their knives up and then they know the life of the guy who made the knife. That's how into the knives they are. They're like, yeah, this is a young knife maker. He's just an up and comer in Japan, but he's getting really famous.
I love that.
They're like, holy shit. This I thought I had a Victorinox before and that was good. If I don't like you, I'll stab you with my Victorinox. You're getting that Victorinox shit. You're not getting my Chan Chi Ki QR code knife. I'm not stabbing you with my QR code Chinese cleaver, okay? This is for loved ones only. If you want to buy a knife as a weapon, where do you get yours? Tesco, right? Some cheap shit.
Yeah.
You're not going to get some expensive, nice, like Japanese chef knife or Damascus steel or nice carbon steel knife. There's so much maintenance.
It would make more sense to do with that though, because I like stabbed myself by accident the other day and Gemma like screamed.
Stabbed yourself
what? I like stabbed someone with our knife. And, oh, wow. I think, yeah, but it was because it's a shit knife.
Yeah, it's not
just
sharp.
Just bounced off. Just bounced off me. Yeah.
So you stabbed and you said Gemma screamed.
Yeah.
Because
she doesn't
yourself.
Like knives. She's very scared of knives.
So how does she cook then?
I cook. I do all the cooking.
Wow. Yeah. We're modern.
Well,
it's not modern because like she can't cook. So that's your only option. Yeah. You can't say you're modern because you don't even have a choice in the matter. You're modern if you both can cook and then you choose to do the cooking and then you're like, you chill, Gemma. This is my role, you know?
I do. I love cooking. So when you're saying about, you know, all of this, I get excited too about like, that knife. I'm like, that is cool.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I love it.
I'm remembering that. I'm trying to be better at gift giving, you know? Remember that? The thing is, knives are very personal, you know?
Mm.
It's like, you know the scene in Harry Potter, you have to feel the wand in your hand and how it feels? That's how I feel when I go to the Japanese knife shop. I tried out, I sampled a few knives.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
What do they get? Do you cut some, do they have food for?
No. Don't worry, I'm not bringing my own spring onions. Right, bring me your best knife. Oh, not good. Yeah, this one. No, I'm not bringing my own
shit. You say you're testing it. How are you testing it?
They have a little chopping board there. Just pretend, just hold it. You know.
No, that's not testing it.
Yeah, they're not going to let you chop vegetables in their shop. They have to sell the knives. You have to keep it clean. Okay. So are you going to, Valentine's Day, what are you cooking her tonight?
I've got no idea, actually. No, I like to challenge myself. So when I get home, I go in the fridge, I'll see what's there, and then, you know, the magic will happen, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you make your rice? Let's do this. How do you make your rice?
Well, if possible, what I love to do is cook rice first, have it with something else, like as like a normal rice, just boil it normally. And then have it with whatever. And so then the next day...
So you boil your rice in a saucepan.
Yeah, first. Uh-huh. And then the next day, when it's leftover rice, I then put it in a wok. I've got a wok.
You got a wok!
Yeah.
Wok. All right. You're a wok fuck boy also.
Sesame oil, if I've got it.
Okay, that's my favourite. Okay.
And then rice in, garlic and peas.
Peas, no.
Yeah, peas.
Oh, no, I hate peas.
And
peas
then
and fat rice.
Egg. Chuck the egg in there. Yeah, scramble the egg, chuck it in there.
A little shallots, maybe. You need
shallots. Onion. Yeah, not shallots, onion.
Onion!
Yeah. Just stick an onion in there.
You never watch any of my videos, man. Shallots are better for Asian dishes.
Yeah,
trust
but
me.
But like you said, it's the grocery shopping, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And also, it's difficult because I want to like do it properly because I love Indian food. So I like trying to cook proper Indian food.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible. You have to go to like, such far places to buy it.
We need some sort of like food slave, you know? No, a PA, a food PA. Sorry.
Food slave.
A grocery slave. It came out bad, but the intention is pure.
That slipped off the tongue nicely, though.
Yeah, food
slave. You say slave a lot.
I do say slave a lot. It's a very good word. And I think we need to reintroduce some form of, like, fair wage slavery.
Oh, my
God. You know? Like a fair living wage slavery into... I mean, to be fair, most jobs are like modern-day slavery, to be honest, you know?
It's just got bad PR around the word slave.
Yeah, I know. People hear the word slave and they clam up. I'm like, relax. I'm paying them well. They're free-range slaves. They help me get shallots, galangal, turmeric, cilantro root, very difficult ingredients to get, stuff you can't get from Tesco, and then they ship it to me. Like, yeah, my food slave, I'll call him Nick. Nick, my food slave. I'll tell him, Nick, tonight I want to make Thai green curry. Can you figure it out? I want it on my counter by 6:30, all the ingredients. And then they just go about and get it.
That's fine, but you need to like invest in the PR because if he's telling his partner or parents,
He puts it on LinkedIn. Food slave for this YouTuber. 2021, 2022 to present. Yeah. And then he becomes senior food slave after a few years, you know? We need better PR. Let's reclaim the term food slave.
I feel like that's a good segue into, you sent me a video earlier to react to.
Why? Have you had enough of food slaves? I feel like I'm just starting. I feel like I'm just starting to develop this business plan.
Oh,
we'll
no.
take investment from people. We'll do Shark Tank. We'll do Shark Tank.
So is it just going to be you and this guy, Nick, just stood there? Like, this is my food slave.
Yeah, and then the three sharks are there. Okay, so what's your business? Okay, listen. Have you heard of slavery? Now, we have slavery with a modern twist. Don't worry, it's not race related. It's very equal opportunity. Equal opportunity slavery. And don't worry, you pay them well. You know, living wage, they probably make more than most minimum wage people. So we use slavery as a PR tool because that would generate buzz. People would pick up the news. Have you heard this thing? People are doing food slavery now. It's like, imagine Deliveroo at any food delivery service, you know, or Uber Eats. It's like Uber Eats, but the thing that gets to your door is ingredients, not the final dish. You know, the problem with Uber Eats is your food stays in someone's car for half an hour. That is the most depressing thing. I thought I loved Deliveroo or Uber or one of those services, but then I realized, because I had my kitchen back, right, I start cooking, and I'm like, holy shit, I forgot what warm home-cooked food tastes like, because stuff they make is warm, it's delicious in the restaurant, but then it sits in some guy's like motorcycle trunk for half an hour.
Are you saying you don't like the taste of like condensation?
Yeah.
When you take it out and it's all like sweaty.
Oh, yeah. And the water's dripping back into the food. Oh, you see it on the plastic.
Good luck buying anything crispy. As soon as it arrives, it's like the soggiest mess.
It's like anything, it's like they put it in the microwave for half an hour beforehand. You know, it's soggy as shit. So that's my pitch. Imagine slavery. It's like Uber Eats meets slavery.
Brilliant.
That's my pitch, listeners. You want to invest? You get the ingredients to your house and then you start cooking. And then you just entertain your guests. You cook, you have fun because cooking is fun. Everything else is not fun. And then we are done cooking. Guess what? The food slave comes into your house. And if you don't have a dishwasher, he becomes your dishwasher. The food slave, Nick, will be your dishwasher. And then you get to spend more time with Gemma. Chilling in front of the TV, making love. Instead of like getting like dried skin from washing dishes.
Yeah, well, actually, I would love someone... Get rid of the word slave, but I would love someone to do that for me.
There's such an essence of that.
Why is that the USP?
Because slavery gets a bad rep, and we are trying to reintroduce it in a modern, fun way. It's slavery, but fun again. So I just got a call from one of the contractors, and he's like, sorry, we were supposed to come this afternoon, but our van's broken down. And listen, guys, if you're a builder, I've heard that excuse so many times now. Seriously, the moment you become a builder, your life turns to shit. Your van breaks down, it catches fire. Your wife loses keys, so she locked herself out. Your kid had to go to the hospital. I've heard all these excuses. The moment you become a contractor in the building industry, all this shit happens, right? You get a puncture. I'm like, holy shit, don't work this industry, guys. It's like a bad luck thing. Your life turns to shit. That's the shit part about Brexit, you know? It's always these... most of the time, it's like British contractors who have these excuses. Eastern Europeans or Asians, they're happy to get any work, man. They just show up. So this is one shit thing about Brexit. Oh, God.
It was good seeing Nigel, though. Like, it was so obvious you've heard his excuses so many times. Yeah. You're just, like, so lifeless. Like, yeah, come in the morning. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Just say you can't make it today.
Yeah. Just be honest.
I'll say, oh, sorry, we can't make it today. Can we come tomorrow? That's fine. You don't need an excuse. Oh, sorry, my wife just gave birth.
Why are you working?
Yeah. Sorry, my wife gave birth to twins, so I have to go back in the evening too, you know?
I love that. So the van's broken now, but by the morning, it's working.
Oh, yeah.
It's here.
Oh, next morning. We can come next morning. It'll be fine then. One time, this guy said his van caught on fire, and then it came the next day, the van looked just as nice as new. I'm like, what's happening here? Do you have two vans? Did you get a polish overnight? Did you get a paint job overnight after your van caught on fire?
I love British people for doing that. You know, you were proud last week of Asians letting other Asians in. Yeah. I love British people for fobbing off people with shit excuses.
I think I need to turn this into a routine, you know, because it's so relatable. Yeah, I'm just busy with a tour for the next few days.
What's your tour life like?
Oh, God, it's just a bunch of hookers and blow, you know. I go to my green room and I ask for like 10 hookers to be there. That's on my rider.
Yeah, what's on your rider? We'd all love to know that.
10 hookers of all races. 10 hookers. Has to be 10.
All ages as well?
All ages, yeah. Younger the better. Younger the better. Trafficked. Has to be trafficked. I need to see the certificate of trafficking by the pimp. So you go to my green room, there's 10 pimps standing outside as I have my way with them. And I do my set. They don't even get to see the show. I tell them, you women, you stay in this room. Don't you dare leave this room. Papa's going to go do some work.
Oh, my God. I hate how natural that was to you as well.
Yeah. Daddy's going to work. Bitches. And I do my set. Then it's an intermission. I come to the room. Chill a little bit. You know, they feed me grapes and shit.
Is your food slave... Is Nick coming with you on the tour?
Sure, I'll bring him. He can feed Galang Gal to the strippers. I'll bring my food slave with me. So I have like my sex slaves and my food slave. Life is good. That's all I need in life. Couple sex slaves and a food slave. You know, that is a great life. That is a great life.
Basically like a low rent Tony Soprano sort of
thing. Yes. Very low rent. Yeah. And then finish my show, and then, yeah, have my 10 hookers ready for me backstage.
Are you...
Any questions? That's my tour life, people. Hit me up if you want to apply to be one of the 10, either the food slave or the sex, the hookers, you know, let me know.
Are there any gigs where you look forward to more than others? You know, like rock stars, every gig is like, this is the best gig of my life.
Oh.
Is that, you know, are you that person or, yeah, I don't like this place, but the next one, I can't wait.
I like most places in the UK, but I have to say, I'm quite excited for New York and LA.
That's exciting.
Because, you know, I maybe in the future, I might move there, you know, to LA for the good weather. Or New York is a cool city too. So I would love to have a house in each of these cities and then just chill there.
Oh, that is bowling.
Yeah, have use it as storage, you know? They have a place in London, I use it as storage. Because when I was younger, I didn't own any place, you know? So moving countries means you have to pack up your whole shit. Mm. And nobody tells you this unless you've moved. But none of your electrical appliances will work in the new country because the voltages are different. I had a very nice kettle in America, brought it here, it broke because the voltage here is higher, it's 230 volts versus 110 in America. You can't just put some appliances, sure, you can put like a adapter and it works, but some appliances don't. They don't have an inbuilt adjuster inside these little things. You don't know until you realize, oh shit, now I broke my nice electric kettle.
I love that that's your example of why it's difficult to move countries. Nothing about visas or anything, but the kettle won't work.
Kettle situation. Visa stuff, everybody knows that's difficult, but it's not interesting. Yeah. The kettle stuff is a very strong example of only people who've moved countries and lugged their shit will know. You bring your printer paper. Oh, printers, don't even bother bringing it. Printer paper. American paper, different size from British paper.
No, it's not.
They don't use A4.
They use
like a legal pad, just a little bit skinnier and taller. Staplers, different sizes. You buy, get a stapler from there, your staples here won't fit the American stapler.
No.
Seriously.
Oh my God.
Everything's slightly different and annoying.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Your measuring cups, slightly different, fluid ounces. Nobody uses that. Right? And then you bring your measuring cups here like, fuck.
What have I done?
Yeah. Everything's slightly different. Nobody tells you this. People who move, they're like, oh yeah, when you're young, just experience a different country, YOLO. People tell you about the visa, sure, that's tough. But nobody tells you about the little things. Books are different sizes. You know, paperbacks you get at shops? Different sizes. So you put them on the bookshelf, they don't look equal. I know, I have American books. Terrible. Terrible. Do you have anything from our listeners, Matt, today?
Yes.
Because I feel like I've rambled on long enough. Yeah, fuck, I rambled on for a lot about my electric kettle. Jesus Christ.
I love it. This is my favorite episode.
Really?
Kettle, knives.
You're learning about my nerdy side. Let's read a review or something. Let's read an Apple Podcast review. So listeners, we do this thing on Apple Podcasts. You can leave reviews. You can write a whole paragraph. And every week we'll pick a new review to read out. And also these reviews actually help the podcast grow. And I try to read every single one of them, so it makes me feel nice that, you know, people take time out of their day to write a paragraph about something I made. So yeah, let's do it.
Well, this review is from Canada.
Oh, the Canada store. Okay, I didn't know I had fans there. Okay.
And I apologize if I'm not saying this right. It is from Asan. Hey, Nigel. I got hooked onto Uncle Roger after the Jamie Oliver fried rice episode.
Nice.
Haven't missed a single episode since. This podcast shows a more personal side of you that is refreshing to see in addition to the Uncle Roger skits.
Yeah,
because... You don't get Kettle Talk and Uncle Roger.
I don't. And I don't get to talk about pedophilia in that depth and that academic rigor. Right? I'm not defending them. I'm just saying this thought must happen in their heads. They might be like, will there ever be a liberal future?
Why are we back there?
You see how uncomfortable you are? No. I love doubling down when Matt's uncomfortable. You got to make him work for the money.
I have to tell myself it's not really happening. And then when I'm editing later, it's like, oh no, he did say that. I was over the moon to see that you're coming to Vancouver, Canada, as part of your world tour. I brought your pre-sale ticket the minute they became available.
Oh, thank you.
Can't wait to see you in Vancouver. I'll be there in the orange polo and Jamie Oliver mask.
Oh, no.
Keep up the good work. Asan.
Asan, if you come to the show wearing the orange polo and Jamie Oliver mask, like, get my attention. Try to sit in the front and I will bring you on stage. Seriously, I will. If you come to my show, I'll do this. If you come to my show wearing a Jamie Oliver mask, I will do my best to bring you on stage. Well, thank you very much, Asan. See, it's this kind of nice things that you can leave, and then producer Matt combs through them and tells me about them. It's a nice feeling, right? Yeah. So, Asan, see you in Vancouver, and I'll bring you on stage if you wear the Jamie Oliver mask, okay? Let's do it. Let's do a listener email, too. People, we have an email address, hiyapod@gmail.com, where I read out some fun entries. Don't send nudes, please. Because Matt looks at them. Unless you're into Matt, then you send
it. It won't be Nigel looking, it'll be me.
Yeah. Matt forwards the good ones to me. Oh, and then he's like, would you like to be like one of Nigel's hookers in his green room? You know, title your email either food slave or hooker. Then we know where to filter your inquiry. Okay? But Matt will have first dibs on your nudes. You have to send nudes through Gmail now because Instagram filters them out. I haven't gotten nudes for a long time. I usually get them before the filter got so, like, you know, filtery. And now I don't get them anymore. I'm sure people are still sending them. My followers have only increased. I'm sure people are, men, women, both, I'm sure they are still sending them. But what happened to the nudes? Instagram filters them. Instagram censoring your nudes, people. So send them over to hiyapod@gmail.com so Matt can have a look before he forwards the good ones to me.
What an intro. So,
you can just write text as well. That works too.
So, this is from the Philippines.
Oh!
Hi, Nigel. I just want to share how a guy has disappointed me not so long ago. For context, this guy and I kind of dated, but it didn't work out. His ethnicity is Asian, but grew up in a white country.
Oh, that's always a recipe for trouble.
We shared the same interest in the kitchen, so I asked him, who is his favorite chef? Only to hear Jamie Oliver.
Oh, dump the guy. Red flags galore. It's a red flag. If a guy is cool with chili jam and rice, that's a red flag.
I cannot and will not hide my disappointment. I ridiculed Jamie Oliver. He redeemed himself by saying, only because he is the one always featured on free magazines. And I replied, of course it should be free.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I'm very disappointed. Thank you, Nigel. All the love from the Philippines.
Filipino woman, good call on dumping him. You can do way better. Go find a Gordon Ramsay fan. Okay? Jamie Oliver fans, he's probably not into food. Okay, warning sign number one. Asian guy who grew up in the West and then he lives in Asia now. You're not going to get along, man. the cultural difference is too wide. Just, if you want someone who grew up in the West, just date a white person instead.
So are you saying once you go West, you can't go East?
No. I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. She's Asian, right? And then he's Asian too, like physically.
Okay.
But culturally, he's white because he grew up in the West. So when you talk to him, there's a cognitive dissonance there. because he looks Asian, but he doesn't act Asian. So if you're going to date someone who's like culturally Western, why not just settle for someone white? Not settle, but choose someone white, because then there's no cognitive dissonance. You're like, oh, you act like how you're supposed to act. That's all I'm saying. I think it matters for some people, the cognitive dissonance. Like, sometimes it depends on the type of British accent they have, but if an Asian person, I've dated someone, Asian woman, with an East London Cockney accent.
Oh, cool.
And I just... my brain just couldn't handle it. I was just very, very distracted the whole evening. I'm like, why do you sound like that? And it's not her fault. And it's not my fault too. I didn't choose my brain to do that. And she's pretty cute. I wish we could get along. But sometimes little things make you feel like, oh, I'm always be distracted.
Did you tell her that was the reason? Or is she going to find out watching this?
Yeah, she's going to find out watching this. If she still watches my stuff. I don't think she does. But Asian woman with like a regular British accent, that's fine, you know. Okay. It just sounds like fine. I don't get distracted. But if you have a Cockney accent, an Australian accent, fine. Asian, Australian, New Zealand, Kiwi accent, fine. But it's like the kind of Essexy. I can't, you know. If you're white, fine. That's fine, you know.
You're more of a welcome to it.
Yeah, because my brain, it's exhausting. It's a cognitive dissonance. It's a real thing. Nobody addresses this. You know, I have to do all the work, and vice versa. I'm sure there are people who dated me and then they find the way I talk too much, you know? Maybe if someone in Asia. I sound too white. Yeah. It goes both ways.
Because you've got like an American accent, haven't you?
Ish. It's all fucked. It's a bit of American, a bit of British, a bit of Asian in there when I get excited.
When you get excited. Yeah.
So in bed, guess which one comes out? I say hi-ya when I come, you know? And that's where we should end the podcast. Goodbye.